The character planted in the audience that you'd never expect to be on the payroll. And when she plays her big scene, she creates more heat than you could ever imagine. Now here's the secret. She's a stunt granny.
Lordy, lordy, look who's 40. What's up, grandkids? It's another edition of Stunt Granny Audio. It's Eric and Dusty. Dusty, what's going on this fine evening?
I hope I look that good when I hit 40.
Oh, man. I just...
You're 40 again!
That reminds me of my favorite Norm MacDonald joke when he was a stand-up. Something about... looking through his, I don't know, it's something about being a kid and looking young when you were a kid, and he was one, and yeah, my one-year-old friend was like, you don't look a day over zero. God. We were just discussing off air. Yeah. We were just discussing off air how I tweaked my back the other night.
You did. You tweaked it.
I fucked it up kind of bad.
You didn't,
but I think...
You didn't wreck it. You didn't ravage it, but you tweaked it.
Yeah. Just enough to feel it pretty much every waking hour and every time I roll over in my sleep. But
right. Mm-hmm.
Nothing too serious. And you asked me what I was doing, and I was explaining that I was helping Max move a large piece of furniture into his house.
Yeah.
And... I described it as 7 feet tall and 4 feet wide, dark and about 400 pounds, and I believe you asked me if he called it Mark Henry.
Right. Yes, I did.
I mean, the answer is going to be yes as soon as I suggest it to him. Of course he's going to call it Mark Henry.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, things aren't going too good for Max lately, you know that?
Why do you say that?
Well... You know, he went bowling the other day, and his ball spent so much time in the gutter, they started calling it Wino. So.
Part of me hoped that you were going to say they started calling it Virgil, but that's all right.
That's my... No, it's a Sterling Cosby Show joke. I take no credit for it.
That's awesome. I was waiting for the punchline to be Virgil, and I was imagining... You're crying, Tyler. Sean Mooney just like crying a river of tears.
Yeah, yeah. I imagine that was a normal Saturday night for Sean Mooney, though. He goes home and he cries himself to sleep.
Wishing that he could have been the one to do the Lord Alfred Hayes tale of the tape or whatever that call of the action.
Jesus. What the hell is wrong with that old fossil?
The body box.
He was so angry in a jolly way.
And he was calling a Shane Douglas match. Shane Douglas had a flowing blonde mullet and hot pink tights.
Yeah.
And he was
he did.
A clothesline. An Irish whip. No, this is supposed to be happy time, Alfred.
Right? No, it's intense, man.
Yeah. Well,
Shane,
Douglas,
he was a dynamic dude, you know?
Yeah.
So,
look at what he's become since.
Right. The franchise.
He's going to own a fucking Subway franchise someday if he's lucky. He's going to work at a Subway franchise.
I might order a 6-inch Italian, but I'll probably go to the one across the town, you know?
You're going to order a 6-inch Italian, and he's going to call JT Smith. Oh!
That's beautiful.
Hey, so the Dalai Lama goes into a pizza parlor and says, make me one with everything. Oh!
Excellent.
I got a million of them. I'm even making the cigar hand.
I know you are. I can see that. I can smell the cigar from here, and it's faint.
Jesus.
It's That's invisible, fantastic. And I can smell it.
Oh, my God. Dusty and I were talking about topics as we were instant messaging each other earlier today.
We were.
And this could just be a very free-flowing audio tonight, much like the TV that excites both of us. What's that?
Well, I mean, I was, excited, hey, we're going to do an audio, and then I realized that we have to talk about wrestling,
Well, and we don't have to, but we could angle things in a way that's entertaining to the both of us. Like, I got one for you.
Sure. Okay, go ahead.
Chief J. Strongbow recently passed away.
Fuck that fucking guy.
Jerry the King Lawler had about a 30-second description of how great of a man and how first-class Chief J. Strongbow was.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
And all I could think the whole time was Bobby the Brain Heenan would not agree.
Yeah.
I was thinking back to Bobby Heenan's shoot interviews with Jim Cornette that Ring of Honor put out. And how he called Chief J. Strongbow a pig.
Cornette ripped on Strongbow in one of his solo shoots, too.
Really?
Talking about how, WWE was showing all month long on Classics On Demand the best of Chief J. Strongbow, all those classic fucking five-star matches.
Jesus Christ. That would have turned WWE 24/7 into WWE 30 minutes or so.
That's right. WWE 5 seconds.
Yeah. I can order a Domino's pizza to celebrate Chief J. Strongbow's greatest hits, and the pizza would be there after the match is over.
That's right.
God, Heenan had some comment about J. Strongbow's nose. He said, how did he say that? You know why his nose is so big? Because the air is free.
Excellent.
Something like that.
Yeah,
I think
seriously.
I may have actually butchered it, but
that's good though. I like that. the real reason they celebrate him is because he helped Vince McMahon behind the scenes with the transition.
Yeah,
and
the national expansion. Yep.
Yep.
Yeah, he really did.
So that's why he got celebrated.
Oh sure. I mean, he was one of those guys who I don't have this fact in front of me, so I'm not sure. I know that guys like Arnold Skoland and Gorilla Monsoon were some of the guys that Vince Jr. promised Vince Sr., I will keep these guys employed as long as I possibly can.
Right. Mm-hmm.
If Strongbow does not fall into that category, then he damn sure did by default.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, he basically. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know what he did personally, other than I know Bobby the Brain Heenan obviously didn't like him. So
Cornette apparently didn't like him. And I've seen a few of his matches, and so whatever.
Yeah. Man, I mean, he looked like shit, but that's back when wrestlers could afford to look like shit.
Right. He just looks like some guy who just came out of like the laundromat or something,
Yeah, this is balding creep.
Yeah, he's just sitting there checking out chicks doing their laundry. Oh, shit, it's time for my match.
Better go wrestle Baron Mikel Sikluna.
Yes, holy shit.
Better go wrestle Baron Michelle Leone.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Better go open up the fucking card at Madison Square Garden.
One thing they said I couldn't believe was that he started wrestling in 47. Like, it's just so hard to imagine wrestling existing in 1947 and what it must have looked like.
I mean, if that's the case, and if he worked in the Northeast the majority of his career, which I think he did, he could have legitimately been one of those TV stars from back in the day. You know how everyone says, oh, you know, Gorgeous George and Lou Fez and Sailor Art Thomas,
right,
and even like Vern Gagne around here
mm-hmm.
all these guys that became stars of the 50s, Haystack Calhoun and everybody else like that, because of the fact that at the time there were really only four networks to choose from.
Right. Yeah.
And at least one of the four networks had a wrestling show on twice a week.
Mm-hmm.
And so I suppose that's what he was doing, wrestling fucking Eddie Sharkey or I don't know.
Sure.
So I suppose. But it's funny that you never really hear anybody talk about Cheap J Strongbow.
Nobody, ever.
Like, okay, my mom grew up watching pro wrestling. She knows who Sailor Art Thomas is. She knew who Vern Gagne was before I was like, hey, Mom, that's Vern Gagne.
Sure.
My dad
always mentions Bruiser and Crusher, Haystacks Calhoun was his favorite, and Mad Dog Vachon. Those were the guys he remembers and loves.
Oh, yeah. And if I mean, to either one of my parents, I'm sure, but to keep using my mom as an example, if
sure.
I were to say something
mm-hmm.
about Cheap J Strongbow, given as much as wrestling as I watched with her around when I was growing up, she would know who Tatanka was before she knew who Cheap J Strongbow was.
Yep, same here. Mm-hmm. Both of my parents.
Yep. Have I ever told you that for some reason about every, like, I don't know, about every 15 to 18 months these days, my dad will ask me, what's the warlord up to?
Oh, my God. No, you've never said that.
Really?
Because I would absolutely remember that and ask you about it all the time if you told me.
Oh, my God. I love it. My dad finally remembers the warlord, and he's just, what's he up to these days? And it's like, Dad, if you've done
nothing?
Math, I know he's 50 years old right now. He's not doing anything.
Right.
Who was he a bodyguard for? Puff Daddy or Master P or one or the other? He was some rapper's bodyguard.
Really?
Yeah, if you do a Wikipedia search for the Warlord and come up with Terry Spitz or Spetz or whatever the hell his name is.
Sapinski.
Yeah. Yeah, he was a bodyguard for a rapper here in the last, like, 15 years.
Wow.
Yeah. Here we go. Okay.
Oh, my God. On his Wikipedia page, there's a section, Wrestlers Trained by the Warlord.
Whoa.
That's an illustrious list.
I bet it's about as long as a Cheap J Strongbow match.
I'm going to it right now. there's one person. There's one person. It's wrestlers.
It's cool.
Oh,
shit.
Dale Torborg.
Dale Torborg was trained by the fucking Warlord.
The Kiss Demon, yes.
Kiss Demon, yes. Oh, my God. Unbelievable.
Mr. Main Event himself.
Yeah, the guy who wrestled in, like, three special main events on WCW pay-per-views because of Eric Bischoff's ill-advised contract with Kiss.
I mean, Eric Bischoff had a personal vendetta against money. So, he hated money.
Yeah. You know what? If you think about it, he kind of looks like he hates money, too. Like, I know he's just kind of a normal dude, but every time you see him, he's got on, like, a dirty pair of jeans. And
is that code for he's a drug addict?
I think it's Latin for wife-swapping drug addict, but I'm not sure.
Okay, just to close this out, Warlord soon extended his services into bodyguarding and worked alongside celebrities such as 50 Cent, Thomas Jones, the football player, and my favorite, Kimbo Slice.
Nice. Oh, my God.
So,
that shows you how badass the Warlord is. When Kimbo Slice is like, hey, Warlord, will you be my bodyguard?
Yeah, dude. Exactly.
That's awesome. I have like three other topics in mind, but fuck them for a little while. I want to keep talking about wrestlers that our dads would or our parents would recognize. And I want to throw one out here right now for you. And I'll preface it with this question. Have you seen these recent anti-smoking TV commercials where they have, like, the woman with the stoma or the woman putting her wig on or the guy that had both of his legs amputated or whatever? Have you seen some of these anti-smoking commercials?
No.
And, like, they'll show the woman, like, here's how I get ready every day. I put on my wig. I put in my stoma or whatever. Or, like, the... Or, some of the ones that are
that's
like,
hot.
Oh yeah.
That's hey, fucking hot, it. Man.
I'm from Fort Dodge, so I think it's hot.
Okay.
But Carly and I were watching TV and we saw one of those commercials and she was like, oh my God, that's terrible. Which it is, that's the point of the commercial. But, I started telling her about Dr. Death Steve Williams and how he had that hole in his throat from his throat cancer.
Mm-hmm.
The one time I ever got to meet him and I actually talked to him and he spoke back to me and it was great because it was Dr. Death Steve Williams, but it was sad because he had his thumb up to his throat, you know, and he was, you know, in bad shape. But then I started telling her, like, it was great because he was one of my dad's favorite wrestlers when I was watching wrestling because he was such a badass.
Yeah.
To which Carly was like, oh, that's interesting. But like,
and then she fell asleep.
Yeah,
mid sentence, she fell asleep.
Dr. Death. How awesome is that, though? My dad thought Dr. Death and Animal. You know why? I'll tell you why, too. There's a common thread. Road Warrior Animal and Dr. Death Steve Williams both did that scoop power slam move.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And my dad just thought that was the coolest thing ever.
Okay. it was. I love Dr. Death.
I know you and your dad have had to have talked about wrestling a lot. Like,
he watched it. He would go to his aunt and uncle's house every weekend, and they had to turn the antenna halfway around in order to get wrestling on, but he'd watch it because he wanted to see, you know, Mad Dog or whoever. So like, whenever the hell Mad Dog Vachon was at his prime, that's when he watched. So I don't know if that's the 60s. I'm looking it up right now here. Mad Dog made his debut in 1950, so this is probably early 60s or something.
Sure, yeah. I wish somebody would get an idea of, like, what kind of health Mad Dog Vachon is in. He comes to the Waterloo, Iowa Hall of Fame and Museum every year. How awesome would it be to bring your dad down here and have him meet Mad Dog Vachon?
Oh, he'd go nuts. That'd be awesome.
I think I've told
you. Because he always talks about it was more real back then, you know, and the guys were tougher and all that shit, you know? And Mad Dog really was tougher, so.
Yeah, well, that's true. I think I've told this story once or twice on air before, but I'll tell it again. I went to, when the Hall of Fame and Museum was in Newton, Iowa, I think the year was 06 when I went down there. I'd gone down there a couple times, then it moved up to Waterloo. But anyway, let's pretend like it was 2006 when this happened.
Check.
I got down there probably about an hour before the ceremony started, and so it was nice outside. It was in July, and in the same, like, adjacent parking lot was a Culver's, and they had patio furniture, benches, and umbrellas and shit. So I sat out there just waiting, passing time, and, like, the guy from the museum came by, so I flagged him down and said something, and people were walking past. This is the day that Mr. Wonderful Paul Orndorff walked past me from the hotel into the museum. I'm like, he's not being inducted. He's not getting an award. That's kind of awesome that he's here, though.
Yeah.
And then I go inside and I see him, and he's just hanging out by the refreshments table eating the mixed nuts.
Nice.
Like, oh, so somebody told him there's a free meal. Like,
that's right. Free food and Mr. Wonderful's there. Nice.
Yeah, and mixing up for the kids. And so as I'm hanging out, this father and son, and the father is like 75 and the son is 50.
Okay.
They go into the museum and then they come back out like, I don't know, maybe the doors might have actually been still locked. So they came over and they sat down and I was shooting the shit. Hey, what are you guys doing? Oh, come to the museum. I'm like, did you come for the Hall of Fame? No, we know it's the pro wrestling stuff. And the 75-year-old dad, like, that stuff's not real anyway. Back in my day, it was real. And I'm like, yeah, sure.
And, okay.
He specifically mentions Bob Geigel. I grew up watching Bob Geigel, and that guy, he was a classic. And that was back when wrestling was real. I'm like, okay, sure. Good talking to you, whatever. The door's open. They go in, and they're walking around the amateur wing of the museum. And I'm doing my thing in the professional wing. And the Hall of Fame ceremony gets over with. And Bob Geigel was there.
Nice.
And so as everybody's dismissed and mingling and walking around the museum, I go over, I'm walking around the amateur area hoping to see these guys. And I see them, they're in the corner. And I'm like, hey, and I point over this way. And I say, Bob Geigel's here. And this 75-year-old man, jaded old asshole, the wrestling's fake now and all this stuff, his eyes lit up like a kid in a candy store, and he made a fucking beeline over to Bob Geigel. It was great.
That is fantastic.
But that's the thing, like, these old people can be like, back in my day, but...
Right.
Turn into these giddy little kids, you know?
Yeah. No, it's the same in every generation. Somebody captures your attention, you know, and you're hooked. And it doesn't even really have to make sense. You can look back at what hooked you and be like, this is total nonsense. But at the time, you were just like, because like I watched that Brother Love skit now, the first ever thing I watched, you know?
Yeah.
No, it wasn't the first ever thing I watched, but it was the first thing that really hooked me. And it was like, this is stupid, you know?
Oh, dude, I'm going to...
Roddy Piper's on all different kinds of drugs, making no sense whatsoever, and it was like, how did this hook me? But it did.
I'm going to pull the curtain back a little bit on an idea that I had that I never followed through on. It was an idea for Stunt Granny.
Okay.
And, as opposed to doing a Where Are They Now? It was going to be what were we thinking? And
yeah.
The gimmick behind the article was going to be just that. It was going to be a retrospective, nostalgic look back at the things that we grew up on and that got us interested in wrestling that in hindsight we're like, why the fuck did I ever cheer for Brutus the Barber Beefcake?
Right.
This fucking queen with his shredded pants and his mullet. And, you know, he was queer
so
with Johnny
lame.
Valiant. And
terrible
I mean,
sense of humor.
Kid. Yeah, and just like, yet for some reason, I just loved the shit out of that guy when I was 10 years old.
Right. Mm-hmm. You can't really explain it. But, I mean, the point I was making is, it was every bit as fake back then as it is now, but for some reason, you know, watching Bob Geigel just drew this guy in, you know?
Yep.
And it could have been anything, but it was him. So that's a nice moment. If my dad ever got to meet Mad Dog, that'd be awesome.
Oh, man. I finally got up the courage to say something to him this last year. And and I've told this story on here, too, so I'm not going to go through the whole thing. But he was at the beginning of the autograph line, and I didn't have anything for him to sign, so I just kind of leaned in and I said, you know what Mad Dog spells backwards, right? He had to sit and think for a second. He's like, and he started giggling. And I was like,
that's awesome.
God, I just made Mad Dog Rashawn giggle. Moments like that.
That's great.
You know who else? My mom has one favorite and one person that she would fucking rather throw down a flight of stairs than give the time of day to.
Would she tell him jokes on Facebook or...
Oh, my God. If my mom could find any of these people on Facebook, she would never fucking leave them alone.
Go ahead.
Goddamn jib-jab card for fucking every holiday season. with their faces and dancing to fucking Jump, Jive, and Whale. God damn it. No, she used to love the Ultimate Warrior.
Oh my God, really?
And I'm assuming it was because of his physique.
Okay.
And she used to hate, she still does, she fucking hates Ric Flair.
Okay.
She would always call him the big Q word.
So does my mom.
Really?
Now that I think about it, yeah, she hates him.
Oh my God, Linda and Shirley, they can, they're a pair to draw to.
That's a pair right there, man.
Yeah. My mom would always say, if he's got so much money, why doesn't he fix his teeth?
Right?
Well, I don't know. What a dumb question. I don't fucking know.
I mean, that is honestly a really good question.
I guess,
and it
yeah,
seems
I
like
mean,
he was very liberal with his money. He might as well have gave some of that money up to
yeah.
fix his fucking teeth.
Yeah. I made $500, I spent $7. Yeah, but not on a dental plan.
Right, exactly.
I need braces, woo! Dental plan. I need braces, woo! Dental plan. Anyway, what the hell else? I don't know. Should we talk about some of the things that are on my list? I don't know. Do we?
I love the episode Lisa Needs Braces where they show her teeth sticking out of her head.
Yeah.
Cool. That's one of those images I'll never get out of my head.
I know, it's great. Bart's line something about cool. She'll be a freak. We can take her on the road and charge $2 a gander.
I wonder who wrote that, Conan.
Yeah. Oh my God, you can smell a Conan O'Brien script a million miles away.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I don't know. I've got three things here on my list. Let's just run through them real quick. This past Sunday was TNA Lockdown. Did you watch any of it? Did you read about any of it?
I read about it.
Okay, me too.
I read about how the main superstar heroic babyface Garrett Bischoff heroically won for his team in heroic fashion. So
yeah, if nothing else, at least he pinned the only person on that other team that he could legitimately beat in a fight.
Yep.
You know? He didn't pin Bully Ray or anything like that. He at least pinned his dad.
Yeah, right.
But still, I mean, Christ, that was actually going to be my final point is, I don't remember everybody that was in that match. I know, like, Austin Aries was there, Bully Ray, Ken Anderson.
Yeah.
But really, like, that's what they chose to do with all of those guys who, you know, rotate through the main event spot or near it. Is they put them in a war game style match as a vehicle for Garrett Bischoff.
Yep.
I mean, what?
Perhaps the worst war games match ever.
Yeah.
With the most just asinine finish. And Aries looked really embarrassed to be there, I guess. So.
As well he should have.
Good for him, yep.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I don't know. Just you're a working wrestler. You're working for the bookings you get.
Yeah.
You know, and all the horror stories about what TNA does to you if you try to get bookings outside the company.
Right.
Which you should be well within your rights to do because the company only runs like 5 shows a month.
Yeah, exactly.
So,
mm-hmm.
So you've got all this spare time. If you're a pro wrestler, you want to go out and ply your trade and make some money off it.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Austin Aries is the perfect example of that because he's still young and he can get over anywhere he goes. He could go to a town for the first time and get over in 5 minutes.
I really think that he's one of the midgets that could work in WWE because he's just so talented.
Oh, sure. Absolutely. I mean, and shit, Bryan Danielson's probably got, what, an inch on the guy?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But you're right. I mean, he really does have like a star quality to him.
Yeah, he just has that it factor. He carries himself like a star. He wrestles like a star. He could very well be a star. He deserves better.
As long as he never wrestles as Austin Starr again.
Right.
But, yeah, he totally could be. And, yeah, here he is in this, you know, again, it's a he's a pawn in the chess game that is the Bischoff.
Right.
Just, oh, man, just terrible. But then, you know, you got other guys like Bully Ray and Ken Anderson who are just there cashing a check.
Sure.
You know, that fucking
Bully Ray's
Ken
work
Anderson
has been excellent lately, but, I mean, you could tell he was dumbing it down for that match, so.
Oh, sure. Absolutely. Well, Ken Anderson phoning it in is, fuck him. Austin Aries phoning it in is still probably better than 50% of that roster.
Definitely. Mm-hmm.
Crimson and Matt Morgan. I like Matt Morgan too, and I know I've had to come around and do a 180 on him, or as Gorilla Monsoon would call it, a 360.
But, a 360, yeah.
But then Jesse would say,
he reached a point and never got better. And I blame TNA.
Oh, sure, yeah. I mean, it's true. Like, he's hit a plateau at this point, but to his, you know, to come to his rescue, I mean, he got stuck in another one of those Vince Russo tag teams that hate each other right off the bat.
Right.
And now he's, like, just another guy that Crimson beat, even though Crimson's not over with anybody either.
No. That winning streak means nothing. Absolutely nothing.
Nope.
No one cares. No one spends any money to see him continue the streak. It's nothing. It's bullshit.
No.
The money is with Matt Morgan. But yet, who did the job, you know?
Yeah. I mean,
and predictably too. I don't think there was ever any kind of dispute about what the outcome of that match was going to be. It was always going to be Crimson winning, and it sucks. It's boring, and it sucks.
They have their heart set on making that Crimson undefeated streak into something, and it never will. And part of the problem is because TNA doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean anything to beat anybody on that roster. You know,
exactly.
Like, congratulations to WCW for being able to do the Goldberg winning streak, and they did it well. And at this point in Goldberg's run, he had won the U.S. title from Kurt Hennig, and it meant something, and everyone went ape shit. It was like Kurt Hennig was a second-tier guy in the NWO, so it meant something. He used to be Mr. Perfect, so it meant something. It was the U.S. title, which meant something. Now, you know, what the fuck is Crimson going to do? Is he going to go beat D-Von for the TV title?
Right, and then defend the title successfully against Anarchia.
Yeah, fucking who cares?
You know, whatever, man. There's nobody.
No. Yeah, so that's a shame. I mean, if somebody had the capability of setting a reset button in that company, I would 100% vouch for and get behind Matt Morgan.
Absolutely.
Absolutely,
because he's big and tall and muscular and also talented. I mean, I don't get what everybody in the world is missing about this guy. But yet, no matter what company he goes to, they never, you know, put the pedal to the floor on a push for him.
Yep.
I don't get it.
At this point, I feel like Matt Morgan could give credibility to a company in that for exactly why you said. He's got the size, he's got the talent, and he can work a mic now way better than he could even a year ago.
Sure, yeah.
So
you can tell he really cares, you know, about getting better and being good. Some people just, oh, all right, whatever, you know.
Yeah, Ken Anderson. No.
Ken Anderson.
The only other thing I could think of related to lockdown, I mean, there are a few things, but who cares about Hogan Slayer? Who cares
about...
Well, that
was one thing I was telling, who was I telling? Was it you or Kevin or Keish?
Okay.
No, it was Jeremy. That was none of the three people I mentioned. I'm doing great today. I was reading Powell's review, and it was like, well, if they do this, this, and this, they can rebuild Flair. That's never going to happen. They're not going to rebuild Flair. They don't care about Flair like that. Only people who were fans in the 80s care about Flair now, you know?
Right.
You're never going to see a rebuilding. So
no,
forget about
it. You know what's sad, too? I don't know. I can only speak to my own opinions of Harley Race at the time. I would be curious to know what you thought of him. But when he came back in 91 to manage Lex Luger, and then he stuck around.
It's time.
To me, he got over with me when he started managing Vader because I thought he made a great counterpart for Vader.
Yep.
I don't know if I just, like, totally missed the boat on Harley Race in the late 80s or something, but he didn't mean a goddamn thing to me when he managed Lex Luger. And it took a little time for me to understand, like, what he was all about. But to me, that's like, you're not care. Like, Ric Flair totally is, like, past that. But in a situation like TNA, like, he's just going to be another dude, like, you know.
Yeah.
What are you going to do, have him manage Ken Anderson? That's not going to get anybody over.
Right. He can't lose to anybody anymore. He's already done that, you know?
Yeah.
He's already lost to 8 billion people, and it doesn't mean anything anymore. And he can't really manage anybody because there's no rub to give.
Yep.
They rubbed it out. So,
you might say.
but I don't know. I mean, I can't believe this, but he's kind of useless.
Isn't that sad?
Ric Flair is at the point where he's useless.
Yep.
And it's incredibly sad.
You know what, though? Like, I give TNA probably 85% of the blame for that. I give Ric Flair about 15% of the blame.
Absolutely.
Because if he hadn't run his ragged ass into the ground, he wouldn't need the money that TNA is paying him to lay around and flounder.
Right. And to endorse fuel in a bottle.
Yeah, and fucking lottery tickets.
Right.
Fucking Bruce Mitchell gets the best of both worlds. He gets to sit around like a fucking monkey and scratch lottery tickets all day in between his classes. And he gets to stare at a picture of Ric Flair while he does it.
Oh, my God, I knew it was coming.
Mr. Mitchell, what's that on your bulletin board? Nothing. I'm not allowed to have these, you know.
He knew.
You know. Yeah, that's bad. Hey, you know what? I was going to ask you about Bobby Roode, but do we even want to talk about him?
Bobby Roode, the worst hair in wrestling.
I'm bringing mullet back. Yep.
You other boys don't know how to act.
Yep.
Yep.
Ah, 60 people will get that joke.
You know, you asked me what I think about Bobby Roode, and, I wrote a song about it. Would you like to hear it? Here it goes. Bobby Roode's got the worst hair in wrestling, and you can't call yourself charismatic, that means you're not.
That's fucking great. Oh my God. TNA gonna make a champion. Like you're going to drop a title.
No matter what comes before, it was always going to get me until the end of time.
His other two lines before that could be dumb as shit. But when he hits that, it's fucking great.
It is.
I can't even do it anymore. Oh, my God.
While you prisoners are locked up in your cages, I'm spanking and banging on your wives and daughters.
Oh my God. I'll send you a scratch and lottery ticket. Check out the Ric Flair. Look at that one.
That's incredible. Okay, you were going to ask me about something, Ben?
Oh, yeah, sorry. Bobby Roode. He wins his main event match against James Storm in Lockdown. The cleanest finish, you know. They did a good job of conditioning us to think that the last call super kick was going to be the finish of the match, and it ended up knocking Bobby Roode out the door into the floor, and he won the match.
Those tricksters.
Yeah.
They had us thinking one thing, and then they did another.
Yep. You know what, though?
They're bigger pranksters than Owens. Mm-hmm.
I'll give a little bit of credit where it's due in that they didn't overbook a main event finish.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, they got, at most, they pointed out, okay, James Storm's friends in Montgomery Gentry are ringside. His family's in the crowd.
Yeah.
Cool, he might win. And then his finishing move knocked his opponent out of the cage, so his opponent won.
Yeah.
You know? It could have been worse. It could have been Jeff Jarrett and fucking 10,000 referees with 10,000 guitars.
I always, like, you know, I complain about Hogan's promos making no sense, but I need to check myself before I wreck myself, because Jeff Jarrett's promos are, like, way more nonsensical, and it's a blessing that I don't have to hear them anymore.
Yeah, and the weird thing is, you know, old family man Jeff Jarrett is on way less drugs than Hulk Hogan was back when he was giving those crazy-ass promos.
Sure, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
So, but the fact that, that makes the fact that Jeff Jarrett sober makes less sense than Hulk Hogan on drugs.
Right. Yep. It means he's not a smart man.
Is the Forrest Gump of professional wrestling.
Yeah.
He's been in all the right places at all the right times, and that's all he's got going for him.
Well, I got to meet the president again. Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. Oh, I think he just killed me. That might be the best random Forrest Gump reference ever. Like, 100 people out of 100 could have pulled a box of chocolates reference, but you fucking pulled out the "I met the president again."
I don't know. I just I like Dr. Pepper too. So
these things just come to me. It's like I've got two brilliant minds.
Excellent.
Oh man! All right, I don't have a segue for this, but I'll force one. We're talking about the TNA World Title. I want to change gears and talk about the WWE Championship.
Okay.
I'm trying to like make a common thread through this is what I'm trying to say, and I'll start with I wrote down the name Mark Henry, and I wanted to bring him up because he spent time as the World Heavyweight Champion recently. You know, in the year 2011, which
sure.
It seemed as though consensus was, and I agreed with it, Mark Henry was the best thing going on SmackDown at the time.
Totally agreed. Mm-hmm.
Okay. He had his groin injury, and Vince McMahon made him work through it. Bastard.
Yeah. And he just doesn't care about the people. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, so to this day, Mark Henry's still wrestling a full-time schedule, and he's still as fucking awesome as ever.
Yeah.
I guess not to lead the witness, but we've seen him now in a three-match series against CM Punk. What did you think of it? And I'm gonna lead the witness a little bit more by bringing up the feud with CM Punk and Chris Jericho.
Okay.
And man, I'm really leading the witness now. The other thing I wrote down the word bottle of whiskey. I guess what I'm thinking is, if I were running a wrestling league and I booked for a guy to throw a bottle of whiskey at another guy's head and have it shatter over his skull,
mm-hmm.
I know in real life you could probably, you know, get yourself fixed up and be back and in commission in a couple of days. In pro wrestling, I'd have the guy take like 3 or 4 weeks off. But instead,
yeah,
what they did was they had him wrestle a fucking day. He was in the middle of a 3-match series with Mark Henry.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. Just take all that into consideration. What do you make of the whole, like, you know, it's a stopgap angle for him while he gets to wrestle Jericho and blah, blah, blah. I guess, what do you think of the whole thing?
I really enjoy Jericho's character right now. He's like Bizarro World motivational speaker. It's really funny. I just enjoy the heck out of Chris Jericho, everything that comes out of his mouth right now. Yeah, you know you're going to try it. You know you're going to love it.
Yeah.
You're already hooked, aren't you? You know, it's just amazing.
Because he's doing that, like, he's doing that, I'm the heel, and I feel like I'm justified in everything I'm saying gimmick.
Yeah, yeah.
And everybody else knows that he's full of shit. And nobody else believes what he says, but he swears up and down.
Except him. Except
yep.
him. In his world, that's the truth, and that's perfect, you know?
Yep. Yep.
He believes that CM Punk really is turning to alcohol. It's just fabulous. Jericho gets it, you know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And I can't believe I'm praising him with this veracity when I hated when he came in at the beginning of the year. I didn't like that twist of character at all, but he's 360 back to awesome.
Yeah,
in my opinion.
Yeah,
Mark
yeah.
Henry
yeah.
probably never healed, would you say?
I don't see how.
Work through the injuries working now, that's probably hindering him, and it's probably going to shorten his career. I don't see how he ever got healthy. I'm glad you brought that up, because that's a good point.
Yeah. I would hope that the finish of last night's match with Punk and Henry was Punk coming off the top rope with an elbow drop while holding a steel chair.
Yep.
And, hey, mm-hmm. I thought that was awesome that was the finish, because finally Punk
yeah.
gets to pin somebody with the top rope elbow.
Mm-hmm.
And B... You know, if WWE could show a little restraint, that could be a good excuse for Mark Henry to go home and heal up for a few months.
Absolutely. And he needs to. Just for his own good, you know? Like, selfishly, I want him out there all the time because I love the badass heel character, but, yeah, you got to take time off.
Well, and the thing is, WWE obviously sees him as a role player higher up the
yep.
card. Or else they wouldn't
yep.
be having him wrestle the WWE champion 3 weeks out of 4.
Mm-hmm.
So it's in their best interest for him to go home and heal up for a while, too, because when he comes back, he can reclaim that spot. And
that's
sure,
right.
he might be losing, but he's losing in high-profile matches as a high-profile wrestler, which means something.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, not that obviously we're all sold on CM Punk, but I think that was huge for him. If they're going to have Chris Jericho throw a whiskey bottle at his head and not let him take the next couple of weeks off, then okay, the alternate plan is have him wrestle a hard-fought match against Mark Henry and win, you know, with the help of a steel chair. That's awesome for Punk. That makes him
yeah.
look like $1 million because he could finally legitimately, you know, cleanly, well, whatever, for a no-disqualification match, beat World's Strongest Man Mark Henry, former World Heavyweight Champion.
Mm-hmm.
So then what, you know, he comes back, let's say Mark Henry takes 6 months off, and when he comes
yeah.
back, like after SummerSlam, maybe there's going to be someone else who needs, you know, a stopgap TV feud for a month.
Sure, and he's
and
more determined than ever because he was put on the shelf for a while, so now no one's safe.
Yep,
so,
exactly.
Easy.
It is easy, damn it. I don't know. I'd love to see that
it's
happen.
It's not even that hard.
It's not that hard. God damn it. That's what our...
It's not even
what?
That goddamn hard. Mm-hmm.
I appreciate Barbershop Window, the website who does all the funny wrestling t-shirts.
Yep.
I appreciate their attempt at creating a Stunt Granny t-shirt, but one of these days, StuntGranny.com is going to create t-shirts for StuntGranny.com.
Yes.
And... somewhere in this line of multiple T-shirts that we're going to create is going to be the slogan, "It's not that hard."
Right. Trademark.
We haven't figured out the, yeah, trademark logo, CM. We haven't figured out the entire line of Stunt Granny merchandise yet, but that's going to be one of the shirts. It's not that hard.
Right. I think a jacket with a picture of spaghetti on it would be in order.
Fuck a duck. We need to make that.
fuck a duck, baby.
A plate with a mound of spaghetti and three meatballs and some wiggly heat lines coming up off of it.
Indeed.
It needs to happen sooner than later. That's for goddamn
sure. Yep.
Oh, my God. That's yep. Great. Fucking spaghetti jacket. That's fantastic. I had one more thought that I want to run past you, and we had talked about it off air, so I'd be interested to throw it out there for everybody else to consume.
You mean this isn't spontaneous?
This part, no.
Communication? No?
Yeah, oh. I planned this. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Okay.
We had talked about this earlier, and it's something that I had mentioned to Jeremy over IM not too long ago. I was looking at the WWE roster, as I am wont to do from time to time.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking about how Brock Lesnar comes back, The Rock comes back, and a big reason some of these guys come back is because WWE just isn't making superstars right now.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking of some of the hits and misses they've had recently, and more misses for sure. Two of them sprung to mind immediately. One is Alberto Del Rio.
Yep.
Who this guy couldn't get over with a fucking catapult.
Right.
And another guy, Wade Barrett.
Yep.
Who was on a decent trajectory.
And then they just rubber banded him backwards and never slung him back out again.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it was bad.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure it hurt. He probably got whiplash on that one. It was not pretty.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Now, I had an idea, and I read, and I'm going to, warning, spoilers for SmackDown. I read today that Claudio Castagnoli, as his new character, Antonio Cesaro.
Indeed.
Made a SmackDown debut being introduced to Johnny Ace by
Antonio
Regal.
Antonio Cesari, that's what you ordered at Olive Garden the other day?
Yeah, I made my reservations at Olive Garden, and I had my unlimited pasta and soup, and I ordered the Antonio Cesari.
Nice. Okay, but as you were saying, he was introduced by Sir William Regal. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Lord Stephen Regal, and I got to thinking, oh my God, this is something I had just talked to Jeremy about the other day, assuming they go this route. Stephen Regal right now, William Regal, his role in WWE is the commentator on NXT, and he does a really good job of it.
Yes.
He's been out of the ring for a little while, but I think people still recognize him as a legitimate wrestler.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what that does is it can really give rub to a young guy coming in, and he could use William Regal as a mentor. And I had an idea that I ran it past Jeremy. I want to run it past you in regards to some of these potential main eventers who just aren't cutting the fucking mustard.
Right.
We all know that Alberto Del Rio is just the Mexican, the cheap Mexican equivalent of JBL. And at one point,
I was
going to
say there's some Mr. Anderson mixed in because he likes saying his name.
Oh, my God. Well, fuck, even Randy Orton does now. Randy Orton made it his business to get Ken Kennedy fired from WWE, and now every promo starts and ends with, "My name is Randy Orton."
Right. Mm-hmm.
But,
man, these guys are obsessed with what their name is. But anyway.
Yeah, Jesus. They're like fucking Jason Derulo in his songs. If you ever wonder if it's a Jason Derulo song, just wait 10 seconds. He'll say his name at some point.
Pitbull. Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
Pitbull,
I turned my life from a negative to a positive. Okay.
But then I was also thinking Wade Barrett, he used to run around with Chris Jericho during his NXT run. Jericho's not going to be around full-time forever. At some point, he's going to go back off and tour with Fozzy again, and he's not going to be able to wrestle every night of the tour and all this stuff.
he'll be making jokes on VH1.
Oh, wasn't it funny when people put on flat bracelets and tight-rolled their jeans? And Screech, what a guy. And then, and JBL, same way. I mean, if he wrestles another match, I'd be surprised, but he'll never wrestle full-time. You know, he came back to induct his buddy Ron Simmons into the Hall of Fame this year. But he's still friends with the McMahons. You know, he's still on good terms with them, and he likes money. So I was kind of thinking, what if you threw money at JBL and said, come back part-time and just be on TV every once in a while as the mentor for Alberto? And, oh, Jericho, while we're at it, you used to run around with Wade Barrett. How about in your spare time, we'll give you $1,000 a week, and you can be Wade Barrett's mentor?
So what you're suggesting is, like, basically manager.
Basically,
you know, and
manager.
It's a tale as old as time. We've been talking about it since Stunt Granny started. I don't see what they have against that basic idea, because it can only help these guys get over. Some of them can't talk good, you know. Some of them, some of them can't wrestle good, you know.
I met the president again.
Wade Barrett met the president again, but. But having a guy out there who's already got credibility, who can already talk, who can already work, only helps you.
Yeah.
Bobby Heenan was a decent wrestler before he was a manager. Nobody remembers that, but, you know, he could take bumps, you know? Jimmy Hart took bumps all over the goddamn place. It's
hey,
just
Bobby
little
Heenan was
things.
President of the neighborhood.
I had the prettiest date in town that week.
Yeah.
But, oh, please. But, no, it can only help you get over it because these guys know every facet of the business and are overdoing it, and they can teach you a thing or three.
Yeah, exactly. Who better to lend credibility than everybody remembers JBL and everybody knows he's a multiple-time champion. Chris Jericho is one of the best acts of the last 4 years, let alone his entire career. And everyone's going to know him, and he's got credibility there, too.
Regal, always talented. The push was never matching the extraordinary talent he had. He can only help Claudio, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that that's
easy.
I think that's a key. And, again, I think if you're going to – to me, the smartest way to do it, given the resources they have, they obviously don't believe in the 50-year-old manager anymore.
Right.
They've gotten away from the scantily clad woman as valet, mostly because of the PG era.
And thank God, because that took away from the act more than it helped in a lot of cases.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And thank God hopefully they've realized that, too. So, I mean, to me, best case scenario, then, is you've got all these veteran wrestlers, established, credible wrestlers, who don't need the money but wouldn't mind the money.
Right.
Who can talk a blue streak, who would never, ever in a million years go to TNA, and who've got some free time on their hands. Maybe pitch that idea, you know, you don't have to go on the road. You show up on TV with this guy 1 week a month, and every other week, we'll put you on the phone with him or something. It'll be like Harlem Heat and Sensational Sherry or whatever. It's just a mentor role, and you get the rub for it. Come to one Monday Night Raw and come to one pay-per-view, and maybe we'll negotiate more. But something's got to give because, goddamn, they can't be spending $5 million a year on Brock Lesnar every year until somebody gets over it.
I think it's a fantastic idea. And I'd love to have JBL on the show someday. I would just ask him one question.
Okay.
Your thoughts on TNA. And then it'd be an hour of him laughing and swearing. It'd be fantastic.
Yeah.
So.
Hey, I will say this, too. I've got my fingers crossed. I hope to God I can go. I hope everything aligns, the stars and the planets and my plans and everybody else's plans for me. But National Wrestling Hall of Fame, Dan Gable Museum in Waterloo, Iowa, this July. Go to N as in Nelson, or National, W-H-O-F as in fame, .org. I'm pretty sure that's the address. It's the acronym for National Wrestling Hall of Fame. Find the schedule of events for this year's George Tragos, Lou Thesz Professional Wrestling Hall of Fame, because this year Kurt Angle is going to be there and JBL is going to be there. If I show my face, the thing is I'm going to need witnesses, because as the stunt granny representative to the Hall of Fame, I'm probably going to get murdered.
Yep.
Or Kurt Angle will be arrested for attempted murder and I will be laid up in a hospital for the rest of my life.
Indeed. Indeed.
But if he has no idea who I am and I would like to keep it that way, I am going to do my best to get time with JBL. I'm going to talk to him. I'm going to buy him a beer, even though he could buy me fucking 10,000 beers.
Yeah.
How fantastic would that be to be in a room with JBL? Like, all the stories, I was talking to Jeremy about this too. All the stories you hear about him being a complete cocksucker, it's
right.
Like, that's when he's in his pro wrestling locker room hazing, you know, fraternity sort of mode.
I think it's bullshit. I think he's one of the best guys you'll ever meet.
Oh, bully, as Ron Simmons said.
Bully.
What do you think of all these rumors of JBL being a bully? Oh, bully. Anyway. I think anybody who can make it to this thing, I think, should take advantage of it to mingle with all the stars of yesteryear, but especially this year. If you thought there was a chance you could have a beer with JBL, I would fucking take that chance in a heartbeat.
Absolutely. And I think you've done an extraordinary job of keeping pictures of you on the internet to a minimum.
Exactly. No one knows my Twitter handle. Very few people have seen my picture. Let's keep it that way.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I mean, there's a few random pictures online of you going on a rampage, but other than that, so.
With my long hair whipping in the wind.
Yeah.
God.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't know. There's a Creepo Man reference in here, but I can't think of it.
Anyway.
Yeah, I don't know. Our hour is up. I suppose we've talked about everything we wanted to talk about, things we didn't expect to talk about, and yeah, I think our time is up. So.
And I've got hot dogs and mac and cheese calling my name. So.
Oh, shit, yeah. I had a hot dog.
Mac and cheese all night! So.
Mama cooking breakfast in collard greens with rice and stuff and macaroni and cheese, and I think I screwed up the line. But anyway, I'm going to get out of here, so everybody have a good one, and we'll see you next time. Dusty, take it away.
All right. Well, Black Nelson, my name is Dusty Giebing.